This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, we talk with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime KVCR news contributor Cassie McDuff. We review a few of the big news stories around the Inland Empire over the past week. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Ken.
Again, we'll start with the colony's corruption trial. It has ended with the dismissal of charges against the remaining defendant.
Right. This was a surprise even to the defense attorney. He said it was somewhat unexpected. This was the last remaining defendant, Jim Irwin, his jury deadlocked, as we reported last week. And the prosecution came into court and asked the judge to dismiss the case. They just said there were too many problems with their witnesses. And they, of course, were alluding to the former county supervisor, Bill Postmus, who had pled guilty to felony charges against him in the same case, that $102 million settlement that the county gave to a developer, Colony's Partners. And in exchange for leniency, he had pleaded guilty and agreed to testify in the trial of the four defendants, former supervisor Paul Bian, former chief of staff to supervisor Gary Ovitt, and his name is Mark Kirk, and the developer Jeff Burham of Colony's Partners, as well as Jim Irwin, the former assistant assessor under Postmus when he was assessor.
And these are all former San Bernardino County officials or associated with that trial in San Bernardino County Court.
Right. These four defendants were indicted by a grand jury back in 2011. So it's been a very long-running case. There have been a number of appeals, a number of motions to dismiss charges. Many of the charges were dismissed. And now the trial is over with the judge officially dismissing the case. And now Postmus faces sentencing on October 27th. It'll be interesting to see how that goes because the prosecution said he changed his story between when he testified in this trial compared to what he told the grand jury and what he told district attorney's investigators.
And the prosecution thought that was one of the big problems in proving their case then.
Very much so.
Okay, so that sentencing will happen later in October, and therefore we'll talk about it again. Next, the Redlands School District is being sued for allowing a teacher accused of sexually harassing disabled students to remain in the classroom. The story goes back a few years, Cassie. Talk about this.
Well, the allegations against this teacher, Kevin Patrick Kirkland, go back to 2005. He was not arrested until 2016, and he pled guilty to molesting four female students, was granted credit for time served, 2 years in prison. He is now free, but he's a registered sex offender. The allegations in this lawsuit, now there are two lawsuits, actually, one on behalf of the four who were the victims in the case he pled guilty to, and one more student this week. The allegations in these lawsuits are that the district failed to report the suspicions of sexual abuse by this teacher to the police department. That's something that teachers and district officials are required to do. And so the allegation is that they allowed him to continue teaching and expose more children to abuse in his classrooms.
Okay, so one more time, the lawsuits are being filed charging that the school district knew of these allegations and at that time did not do anything. And what you're saying, you say they're required to report. This is by law that, school officials, including teachers and others in schools, are required to report?
That's correct. Not just sexual abuse, but child abuse. They're called mandatory reporters. They're required to report these suspicions and let the police department or the law enforcement authorities investigate. Instead, the allegation is the district tried to cover it up in order to preserve the district's reputation and conducted their own internal investigation and warned the teacher, and the teacher continued, according to the lawsuits, to molest and abuse these students. This says that, you know, that the district was aware of these multiple allegations of sexual misconduct for at least 12 years. And that they intentionally and maliciously, in their words, chose to leave Kirkland in the classroom. And that way, more students were exposed to possible misconduct by him. And they also are concerned that these were the most vulnerable students, these special needs students in the school.
And this is not the first time that there have been allegations of sexual misconduct in the Redlands School District.
Well, right. A teacher at Citrus Valley High School was accused of getting pregnant by a student and, in fact, having that child. She was convicted of six felonies related to that case, and the student's family was awarded a $6 million settlement.
Now that there are lawsuits filed, I'm imagining that the Redland School District is probably not responding. Have they responded at all to any of this?
The most that they've said, really, is that the plaintiffs are making unsubstantiated allegations based on speculation. And so, of course, we'll see how the courts handle that.
Okay. And finally, a bill authored by an Inland Empire assemblyman closes a legal loophole that was allowing developers to bypass environmental review.
Yes, this was a bill by Assemblyman Jose Medina of Riverside. He watched what was happening in Moreno Valley, where the community was really divided over that gigantic warehouse project, mm-hmm. World Logistics Center, mm-hmm. by the developer Ito Benzivi. And the city council narrowly approved the project on a 3-2 vote. Then the developer brought forward some ballot initiatives that would enable voters to approve the project and thereby bypass the CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act, reviews. What the city council did in that case was they actually went ahead and approved the amendments themselves, thereby bypassing the environmental review. And that was something that Medina said just shouldn't happen.
And this was because of a loophole in the law that Moreno Valley was allowed to do what they did.
Right, and some court decisions.
What does Assemblyman Medina's bill do?
Well, the law was written very carefully so that cities preserve their planning powers, their abilities to have the say-so over projects like this, and also to preserve California's direct democracy, which is the referendum and initiative. And so it would not affect that. But what it would do is make it very clear that environmental reviews cannot be bypassed in the initiative process. Hmm. I think what disturbed Medina about it was that a developer with a lot of money could author a ballot measures like these and get voters to enable his project to bypass reviews. And Medina said that a big project like this particularly needs to be reviewed because it has such potential impacts on not just the city of Moreno Valley, but neighboring communities, traffic, air pollution, all the kinds of things that we've talked about before with regard to that project.
So going forward, cities and other jurisdictions won't be able to do what Moreno Valley did before. But what about Moreno Valley's decisions? Does it affect their past decisions about the World Logistics Center?
It does not. It takes effect early next year. It is not retroactive. So what happened in Moreno Valley is what happened. However, there are still a couple of lawsuits by environmental groups that are pending against the World Logistics Center. And so we'll see how those play out in court.
Okay. Cassie McDuff, thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Cassie McDuff is a longtime Inland Empire journalist and a regular Friday morning contributor to 91.9 KVCR. You can hear Cassie's segments at our website, kvcrnews.org. This segment is made possible by the Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers.